We're in Acts chapter 13 as we continue today. This was the realization of what God had made known to this man Paul and what we would declare unto you today. 13:38 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," that is the man Christ Jesus, "through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." I'll just stop there. That is what is so unique about Christianity. It is not merely a religion. All the vain attempts to reach God on man's own attempt around the world is religion. But we have the uniqueness of having sins forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. No religion of the world can offer forgiveness of sins. A clear conscience before God because of what He has done on our behalf. Verse 39, it goes on to say, "And by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." The Old Testament showed us our sinfulness, but the law itself and keeping the law and being a good person, what have you, could not make you right before God. And we see therein, we see the death of Christ and being justified or made right with God comes by faith, not by works. So in this, we see this man Paul, a man full of good works, a man full of religion, a man that was a leader among the Jewish people, that it was made known to him that he could not be right with God by his works. So now, let's just think a little bit about this actual call that this man Paul has had to go forth and to move out into the missionary journey. The first four verses that we read of chapter 13 tell us a little bit about this call. Now, I'm glad that the younger people and some teenagers, what have you, are out with us today. Perhaps this would be a challenge to you, but not only you, but any of us, because this is a pretty broad challenge, but particularly ones that may not have really thought about it really a lot in their life at this point. I would like you to really think about this. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, think about how you will have a calling of some sort, some area to serve the Lord. It doesn't mean you'll necessarily go over with the Saxons to Africa, but the Lord, if you are one of His children, the Lord has brought forth some call in your life for service for God. It may be right here where you're sitting today that the Lord would raise you up. I may be speaking to someone who would be a tremendous example as a godly woman to the young women, the next generation. I may be talking to some of the young people that may be standing here and taking my place and Jeff's place in years to come, or perhaps even better, preaching along with us. You see, maybe your call is something that would not be a public thing. Maybe it would be God has called you in a tremendous ministry that may be behind the scenes, but just is vital. Jeff is talking about the putting together these tapes, things like that. Gets the word of God in the people's hands, but, you know, someone may not really be seen. That may be someone that may have no ability to stand before someone and preach. Or perhaps they could put the word of God in hundreds of people's hands by way of tape ministry. You could just go on. But the Lord, if you're one of His children, is calling you into some area of service for His glory. So think with me here. Notice a few things in the first four verses of what Paul still referred to here as Saul, how he was called into the work of the Lord, into this specific sphere of the work of the Lord. He has already been actively serving the Lord from the point of his salvation back in chapter 9. But notice here in verse 1, to start with, just briefly, did you notice there are five different names, specific names mentioned here? the prophets and teachers of the first assembly that is referred to as Christians. We learn that in chapter 11, that Antioch was the first place where ones were referred to as Christians. As far as that name, well, we find five prophets and teachers in Antioch. And by the way, this Antioch is in Syria, north of Jerusalem. Later on, perhaps next week, when we look at Paul's first great message that he preaches, that's recorded on his journey, that will be a different Antioch. So don't confuse the Antioch in verse 14. It's a different one, a different country. But nevertheless, Antioch, there's five men. So we see the ministry of the Word of God being shared among the brethren at Antioch. But God does something unique. He calls two of them to go forward and go hundreds of miles away. They'll return, and they'll go again. But notice here, in verse 1, there are five, two of them being Paul and Barnabas. We saw one of our studies, Barnabas was a man of exhortation. We see Paul is a great man that perhaps you'd call him a teacher, but regardless of their areas of ministry, they were vital men to this assembly. But yet God called them. Sometimes God calls the ones that you would think, I just could not let go of them. The way I see it, we cannot go without this brother or sister. But the Lord sometimes may take that one and place them over here. I was speaking and actually was burdened with this same passage in Goldsboro last week and didn't even cross my mind until I was in the platform, but they had three different people or three families all related. One at a time had moved up to Michigan. In about a 2-year period of time, they end up moving up there and taking part and helping in this Christian retirement home, kind of like the one in Pittsburgh that we are familiar with. And it seemed like they were the very ones the assembly could least afford to give up. I mean, it was like the last one to go. He was handling correspondence and for the assembly and handling treasure responsibilities. His wife is playing a piano. And before that, two of their daughters had been on missionary journeys and what have you, and they were burdened to settle down in Michigan. And then the grandparents had gone in between those two trips, and they moved up there. And it just seemed like this was really going to hurt the assembly. But God had a purpose. God placed them in a place. He called them for a ministry, and I'll trust that the Lord was in it. So we see sometimes it comes unexpectedly. God may call you, the key being first, are you in His family? Have you been born again? God is not going to call you to serve Him if you're not saved. He's going to call you unto salvation, and then He's going to call you unto service. But also, are you saved? And secondly, are you listening for the voice of God? I'm not saying an audible voice, but right here we have it, the Word of God. And as Elijah spoke in the Old Testament, as he would say, as that still small voice come to me, I knew what the Lord, basically paraphrasing, the Lord spoke to me. Remember how he said when the earthquake came, the voice wasn't in that. The fire came, it wasn't in that. But he knew what to do when that still small voice came. If you're a child of God, the Lord may impress upon you, and it's going to be through prayer, I believe, and through the Word of God, that you're going to be led in your direction to honor Him. So are you listening for what God would have for you if you are a child of God? So let's note also in these first four verses that it was the Spirit of God. Verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord. Well, that's an interesting concept. We think of ministering or serving, we think of serving other people. But there is such a concept of ministering unto the Lord. That is when you are in His presence giving unto Him. That is, in a sense, what we have with worship. Earlier this morning, we had the grand opportunity to come and to remember Him, and the time set aside was not that we would be serving those around us. as valuable as that is, but we had the time set apart to think on him, to remember him, to lift up our voices in worship and praise and singing and reading of the Word of God. We were, in a sense, ministering unto the Lord. You know, it said in the Old Testament, the priests of the Old Testament, back under the times when they would take animal sacrifices and what have you, that's how they covered their sins before the final sacrifice of Christ. But the priests of the Old Testament, they were ones referred to as those that would minister unto the Lord. They would bring those sacrifices into the presence of God and offer them up to God. So now we in the New Testament, we can minister unto the Lord, but it's with our worship and with our adoration and our service. So here we see verse 2, I wanted to point out, as they were ministering unto the Lord, when they were in tune with God, their fasting and the Holy Ghost, that's the key, the Spirit of God called them. It says, the Spirit of God pointed out, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And then as verse 3 points out, they prayed, and the brethren placed their hands on them, which that in itself, it wasn't a magical type laying their hands and putting some energy to them. It was laying their hands on in a sense of, like, we're with you, brothers. We feel the call of God is on you, and we're identifying with you. We're saying, go. God has called you to do this. They were identifying themselves with what God had called them to do. So we see both sides, don't we? We see, as in verse 2 and verse 4, verse 4 says, those they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. You see, on one hand, it's God that's going to call you to serve him in whatever manner. It's the Lord that will call you, but yet on the other hand, the people of God must be in tune with the things of God, in prayer, in the Word of God, that they may see these things and see that this is evident. You know, for example, when someone is encouraged to start helping in the ministry of the Word, for example, it's not that someone just all at once says, hey, I want to start preaching, and just gets up. They may have that burden, but at the same time, the brethren in the assembly would see some type of gift there, perhaps, or at least some possible ability to open the Word, or at least they would see the willingness that's there, and they, on one hand, would encourage one, and on the other hand, God would be burdening that one to do that. And so you see from both sides, God and the willing saint is looking for God's will. Well, thank you for being with us again today. We'll be back, Lord willing, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. If you'd like to contact us, please call us at 824-5525 if you have any comments or questions. This is Mike Moody, along with Jeff Buckles and Mark B.B. with the Two Roads and Two Destinies.